Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Welcome, everybody. It's episode 81 of the LFC Podcasting Couch, and I am joined in my own living room by, again, Mr. George Xanthis. How are you, sir?
Boom.
Boom. Very good. If you're watching Periscope, we did do a bit of an intro. It was, sadly, a blatant ripoff of the LFC Day Trippers. Sorry, guys, but I love what you guys do, and I support you, so hopefully you can support us, too, with my bad ripoff decision. Anyway, next person inside the room, the living room, on the not even on the couch, but kind of on the couch metaphorically. Mr. Peter Kofinas. How you doing?
Not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
Great, man. Great. Thanks for coming on the couch.
Pleasure to be here, mate.
Cool. And I think I first met you at Cheers Bar. Was that for the final game?
That was against the Middlesbrough.
Genius. Cool. Well, thanks a lot for coming down. You're friends with George, I hope.
Yeah, George for a few years now, actually.
Yeah.
And we actually what met at Cheers, maybe.
No. Fraser Park. We played our football together.
Oh, we did play football together. That's right.
And then we went to Cheers Bar, and we're from Earlwood. There's lots of connections. About three.
It escalated through Cheers, though. Let's be honest.
It did escalate through Cheers. Okay. Absolutely.
So if anyone's wondering, Cheers Bar is the official New South Wales pub for the LFC New South Wales Supporters Club. That is my plug of the day for
represent
the LFC New South Wales.
There you go.
So if you are from New South Wales, please sign up to the OLSC New South Wales. That would be fantastic.
What is it like? I'm not trying to do the plug. I'm actually
that's
genuinely
right.
Like, it's like $12 or something like that. Is it $12 or
13,
20?
I think I paid.
13. 13, $12. And the stuff that you get
the
for the year.
That you get.
The stuff. We've got sponsors now. George has been told not to swear just before the show, by the way. Mish is like, by the way, if you want to swear, can we just keep it to a minimum? I'm like, fuck.
Oh my God, man.
Classic joke. He swore when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, no swearing.
Nice one.
But no, like, I haven't, I have to admit, not every year I've been a member, but
yeah.
When I did see what you get, and it's just a no-brainer. If you're in New South Wales, I think you got to do it because you do get a membership card. You get a little welcome package,
stuff,
which I haven't received yet.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's in the mail.
I was in LA when I did it. So, plug. But shameless. It's great. It's great value. It's a no-brainer.
Cool. Well, on to just talking about the last pod you're on, last time you're on the couch, which is only two or three episodes before?
Well, last week.
Last week.
A week ago
we've
today.
Broken all kinds of podcasting records for this couch.
Oh, thank you.
Officially 1,041 listens since the last time you were here, seven days ago. So thanks a lot, George, hopefully. And a lot of them from San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah. So whatever you did, it's working.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's my
in San Fran, eh?
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, I was in San Francisco earlier in the year. I was based there for a couple of weeks.
Nice. So. Well, it does beg the question, Peter, what are you going to do for the pod?
I would have to just take up another level, won't I?
Nah, they do it. So bring it on. Okay, so I ask every single new guest this same two questions.
Ask me the question?
Yeah, it's going to be you the question. It's basically a quick introduction as to who you are, name, location, whatever. But then what got you into Liverpool, especially since you're from this particular location? Go.
All right, so obviously my name is Peter Kofinas. What I do, full-time coach, and have been a full-time coach now for 8 solid years. Been overseas, Japan, England, America, Spain, and a few other countries just for my own personal education. What got me into Liverpool? It was my father, really. My father and my best friend, Michael, if you're listening. How you going, mate?
Awesome.
We were together from, 4 years old. We supported Liverpool. Both our fathers went for Liverpool. So I guess it just followed the family tree and went for Liverpool.
Have they been in Australia the entire time as well?
Yeah. They were born here, awesome. Both born here.
That is fantastic.
And I guess, Robbie Johnson, Craig Johnson. Craig Johnson had.
He looks like a Robbie. Doesn't matter.
Because we played with someone. They were called Robbie Johnson. That's how Michael and I always got confused with the two.
Yeah.
Because I was talking about Michael there and our childhood stories, but it was obviously he had a massive part to play.
That's massive. And did he get to meet him, by the way?
I never got to meet him. No. I mean, it was a quick high five, a little walk, but it was a sly high five. But apart from that, there was no conversation. No.
So is Dad a fan of Craig Johnson?
Yes, he was. I think that was the reason why I started supporting.
I might give you a present before we finish this. Remind me, just to give to your dad.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Ooh. So yeah.
That's very nice. Brought a tear to my
eye. I've been wondering what to do with this thing, and you'll see it. Your dad will like it. You'll probably appreciate it a lot more than I would, because I met the guy so many times. He's such a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
But when he gave me, you'll see it. It's a signature signed, his picture from him. I think you got one too from the Cheers night. But I'd love to give one to your dad. Just
a legend, mate. Appreciate that.
No, it's got to, if you can do it, your kids in the future or whatnot.
Well, they got no choice. Should they support them?
Exactly. Bring them up. So that's amazing. So from birth and from the very start, Liverpool.
Always.
Love it. Awesome. You did mention coaching overseas. There were a few pods. I think it was Anfield Rap. Was it recently? They're talking to a guy who did coaching lots of different states, lots of different countries, picking up lots of different things. Can you name me probably the most just thing that blew your mind while you were doing that tour? One thing that particularly got you when you were trying to learn coaching techniques and stuff?
Funny enough, it wasn't actually from other coaches. The thing that blew me the most out of everything was the discipline and the attitude of the children.
Yeah.
Because I went there for youth, because that's where I coach in the youth system. So the attitude and discipline of just the youth over there, particularly in Spain, because I lived there for 2 months, and it was just, it's different. It's different to here. Let's just say it's different.
Nice. I think that coach on that one particular episode mentioned something about the Dutch kids, I think it was, when basically they would teach them everything and then they would have to change a system, but the kids were so smart and so in tune with being able to change a system, change formation, change position, that they were able to do it organically. And they were trained from such a young age to be able to do that. And it's not quite the same in even in England or in Spain, but the Dutch are extremely well first.
Well, the Dutch do, obviously you've seen it year after year, they're produced. There's always that next young gun on the way, come from Ajax or PSV or wherever it is. So the system speaks for itself, really.
That's amazing.
I was going to ask very quickly in terms, if we're very briefly on the subject of youth. I noticed one of our favorite players, of course, all of us would be Luis Suarez, and you've got players like Messi, you've got players like Ronaldo. You look at photos of them when they're kids and you see they're all raggy, scruffy hair, any jersey they can find. Even Steven Gerrard, I think he talked about in his book, he was barefoot, in the streets. I think there's actually
he almost lost his toe.
Yeah, he stabbed a garden fork.
Kicked a garden fork trying to get the ball out of a bush, believe it was.
And he almost had to amputate his foot off.
Jesus.
But
and it was Steve Highway who said, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. So there were a lot of stories of street kids making it into, becoming the best footballers. And, I mean, we didn't want to talk about the youth game in Australia. We didn't want to talk about, what we need to do. And it's not just Australia. It could arguably even England, for that matter. But there's an argument that, and this is kind of wrong, but that middle class, middle to upper class.
Do you want to say it?
No. middle to upper class kids getting fed into football, because football's almost, it's like to get the best training, the best resources, you need to be in a certain socioeconomic status. So is, from your view, can you sort of, because you did mention that you've seen things in Spain and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, does it take kids to get that street football mentality? Does that give them an edge on the field? You might do a Suarez, you might pull someone's shirt, you might leave a little bit of a foot in into a tackle. Whereas I feel like, especially in Australia, that it's all very proper and delegated. Do we need to get a bit of that rough and tumble back from, street football?
Yeah, look, the thing
you've
I can
seen
say,
that
the thing I can say is the best teacher of the game is the game itself. So, I mean, as long as you're playing, you're always going to constantly learn something. I think even now when I play, I don't play anymore, but when I do have a kick about with my friends, even I'm still constantly learning because I'm playing. I think if you're always playing, you're going to learn something. I think these kids overseas, well, you talk about Luis Suarez and the South Americans, things like that. They only played growing up, and that was their way of freedom, and their, you know, that was their sanctuary through whatever hard times they were going through, was to play football with their friends.
Yeah,
and, I think because they, you know, the repetition of hours and hours on the street playing, how many times a week, it was. I think it was their teacher, even, because they didn't have money for private coaches and things like that, did they?
Yeah. Would you argue that that playing that they're doing is more, that they are actually playing? Like, the definition of play is having fun, playing a game, whereas, you know, training and getting taught things, like, you got to dedicate time to actually playing the game and enjoying it. You know, like, that seems like what street footballers are doing. They're playing a game, they're having fun, it's all about winning. Whereas, you know, if you don't dedicate as much time, you know, to doing that, I don't know, I'm just sort of interested.
Yeah, you're rattling off stuff, yeah.
Let's go. There's a million answers. And these conversations could go for hours upon hours.
Yeah, I don't think that's what people are here to listen to as well.
I just find it fascinating because, youth football is, as well.
Yeah, but we'll do a youth football podcast one day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but I do want to talk about Liverpool, especially because your history here, and people are probably listening to this podcast specifically about Liverpool. First thing I do want to bring up is the fixtures have just been released. So yes. I did geek out completely, and if Pete, you want to turn around and take a look-sees. So we are starting away at Watford. What's the first thing that goes through your head?
It's another difficult start, isn't it?
Yeah. So you think, but Watford, man. We did play them very well at the end of last season. Do you think we're going to start this season if there's not too many we're expecting changes, but do you think our style and the way we're approaching games, especially how we played West Ham away, do you think we're going to try and start the season against Watford the same way we finished last season?
I do think so. I think Jurgen Klopp, I think he definitely wants to start very strong and send the kind of the same message as he did at the start of this season.
Yeah.
I think he does need to start strong. I think he definitely wants to start strong. I think he only demands 100% from his players, if not more.
Yeah.
So away to Watford, he'll look at that and say, what a good fixture to kind of prove a point where, as you know, as people would say, fans would say, it's a banana peel fixture.
Yeah.
Away to Watford, Liverpool tend to drop points. So to go there and win, I think, is a great message.
Awesome. George?
Well, I'm just looking at the fixtures now, doing my best to look at them and also talk into the microphone at the same time.
Just look at the first one.
No, because the reason why I'm looking at the first six and not just the first one, because I think it all has to do with the same thing. I actually said thing when I was on the wrap. Shameless plug. But when they were in the States, I did say that Jurgen Klopp wants to make a quick start. He's got the players doing triple sessions every day, you know, increasing the fitness, increasing the intensity, because he said in these opening 6 weeks, we want to get a good start because, I mean, I don't know if he's looked at Liverpool historically. We've actually historically made quite tame and tepid starts to the season.
Yeah.
And that was our best start in a long time. And that is, having said that, we beat Arsenal in a 4-3 game, which was quite sort of volatile in terms of the fact that we conceded three goals. But also, we lost to Burnley. Is it the second game or the third game? Is it the second game we lost to Burnley? Straight away.
Second game
of the season. Yeah. So, you know, a fast start doesn't necessarily mean you win all six on the trot, because I think Chelsea, Man City, Man United all came out the traps with three wins to start with. The first thing I'd say is that, you know, we beat Stoke away first game of the season with that Coutinho screamer a couple of years ago. So I think we've put to bed, not only through our players, but also, you know, not through only Jurgen Klopp, but also our players, we've put to bed that whole thing that we can't go away and win. I think that's fine, the whole Watford away thing. But also the fact that we've got Newcastle coming up, that's the seventh game. Newcastle away, I'm fucking happy. Sorry, swearing again. I'm so happy that we get Newcastle away out of the way very early, because that's typically it's a banana skin game for us going away to Newcastle. I mean, we've actually done very well there traditionally, but
Rafa's back in the Premier League.
And Rafa's back as well. So, you know what? I'd actually even earmark that as a draw. We can get a draw out of that game. Just get it out of the way, because all the sentiment and the emotion will be there. But I don't see Watford away as a big issue. We've got Arsenal early again, which is good. We've got Manchester City there as well. So I think look, Liverpool don't suffer from hard games, because whenever someone gives us a hard game, This cat is mental. Yeah. Whenever someone gives us a traditionally hard game, we perform well in it. So I don't think, who knows what a hard game for Liverpool is. So yeah, I think the fixtures are just what they are.
No, definitely. You could do brought up Arsenal early because big difference between last year. We played 9 games, you had triple sessions. We were super prepared for that first game of the season. Arsenal had 5 preseason games, and that told very big time in that game. The second half, when we see Mane running through 5 players and scoring a goal.
What a goal.
I still think that was the goal of the season.
My opinion, I have to agree with you.
Yeah. 100%. Just the skill, the opposition, his debut. Anyway, huge. And also Man City away, I would much prefer, as you said, it's our 4th game, Man City away early in the season rather than at the end of the season when we are desperate for points. If we can get that, same with Newcastle away. I actually prefer these tough away games, Spurs away.
Leicester's nice and early, isn't it?
Yep. Get these games out the way early, the tough ones, kind of what we did last season, some of the big games, so that when we're not desperate, then we can actually have a bit of freedom and a bit of expression and go out there. Manchester United at home on the 14th is just ridiculously good. So
hoping I'm there, by the way.
Yep, get over there, Pete.
I see Crystal Palace, and I still get, you know, even as at home,
yeah.
I just don't like Crystal Palace. No, hate the name even.
Yeah, I know. It just, I always think of Gale, and Gale plays for Newcastle now, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, God damn. Yeah. So one thing I do want to bring up, I'll scroll down. We've gone past Chelsea. We're into December. This is one thing I brought up on the Redmen TV pod, live show today.
I like our December.
Yeah, so
I like our December. I think it's very fair.
It is. And if you see between Stoke all the way through to Huddersfield, that's 12 games. So Stoke is on the 29th of November. 30th of January is 12 games. We play Arsenal away, Man City at home. The rest are Stoke, Brighton, Everton. Merry Christmas, Everton. West Brom, Bournemouth, Swansea, Leicester at home. Burnley, Swansea. Is that Swansea twice? Yeah, we do.
Yes, it is, in the space of what?
Jesus. Space of, you know, yeah, almost like 4 weeks. And then Huddersfield away. So that I'm very, very happy with. So if we can get plenty of points out of that, 2 big games and a lot of them at home as well. So, well, maybe it's about even.
Keep in mind that our December was actually quite good. You know, this looks like a very congested December period, but we got through that. Our problem was January. It was actually the period after that. We actually put all our might and soul into the so-called hard periods of the calendar.
Yeah.
And where we struggled was the place, again, what we just talked about. We don't struggle in the hard games. We struggle in the rest. So, you know, when we're probably thinking, oh, we just got through the difficult period, then we come up to January and February, which only have, I think, 7 games in Jan and Feb. No, yeah, 7 games, it looks like there.
Well, 7 games in December, yeah.
Well, in January and February combined is only 7.
Yeah.
And we're probably thinking, oh, God, we've just got to January and February. Yes, but that's probably our hardest period. I reckon that's where we win or lose the league or whatever it is we're going for.
Differences of January has about the same as last year, but January has the League Cup and the FA Cup in it. That's why this January that we just went last season had 9 games in the January that just passed, and that's when we played the kids as much as possible and the kids were all right, as Robbie Williams would say. So,
okay. Well, February's, well, hopefully we go that far, Champions League, isn't it?
Yep. That's when it all ticks off again.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I mean, that's the hardest time of any season. So if we do get the depth and we're able to get through that, you know, that's real crucial, 29th of November through to the 30th of Jan. If we get through that unscathed, I think we're in an extremely good position to finish off the season or focus on the Champions League, focus on the other cups, and hopefully pick up one of the big ones.
I'll take anything.
Yeah,
I'll take anything.
Tell me about it. Sweet. So that's pretty much the fixtures. I'm sure everyone's analyzed it to death. One little thing I did tweet out, which I found pretty funny, is that Chelsea's first 8 games are H-A-H-A-H-A-H-A-H-A, which is ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. So I'm hoping if some stroke of weirdness.
And then after that pattern, it just goes ha.
Yeah, ha.
And then ha.
So I'm very big on phonetics, and if that is something
Liverpool's first three are,
So we could do this all night long, pretty much.
Why shouldn't we?
Let's do this.
Why shouldn't we?
I think it's the same over here. Look at this.
Well, chances are, if 50% of your games are home, 50 are away, the chances are heads and tails.
I'm so excited by this. Yeah, but except for us, I'm happy with that. Yeah, I'm also
can we allocate that to a to like does that can we get some stats on teams that have a ha 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 league? Do they win more, or if you have an do you win more?
I think it just sounds more relaxed, isn't it? Like we're gonna this
because
is gonna be
all right. Two
but then do you relax and then the other team hits you because you're sitting there
But if there's two AAs and the H's
yeah, that's what we've got. We've got an ah. That's a Jurgen Klopp.
We've got AHH.
But what did you want?
A-A-H is
A-A-H is R. Oh, okay. Yeah. A-A-H. Well, August starts with an A, so
it's all very important stuff.
Yeah, I'm lost.
You go into,
this is phonetics 101, people. Also on this exact point, you did bring up Rafa, you did bring up Newcastle. I'm calling it now, and I called it today. Newcastle are going to win the League Cup this year because Rafa is the king of cups. I don't think he's going to get higher than eighth, but I think he's going to smash and win the League Cup.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
If it's not us, I hope it's Rafa.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll focus on winning a trophy.
Yeah.
And that trophy's going to be League Cup and stay in the top 10.
I've got nothing but admiration for Rafa anyway, because he's the reason why I actually got into coaching was Rafa Benitez. So
seriously?
For me, yeah.
So basically, you're just cold to all the players. You're just like...
I didn't want to copy his... the way he does things, but he was...
Do you is it important for the squad? Is that what? Do you have
a
squad?
I'm a big believer in tactics.
It's important for Luis Garcia to be in part of the squad.
Okay. I did want to bring up one thing. People are like, oh, why is Klopp all so like ruthless on Saka and blah, blah, blah. It's like, mate, it's an elite manager thing. I think, I don't know if you completely agree, but from what I've seen from the elite managers, is that if you don't like someone or you want to treat someone a certain way, you want to be disconnected from someone, you just have to disconnect, it seems. I don't know. Maybe you can offer some insight while I get a beer.
Look, for me, I don't know, right? It's I look at, for example, was it Yaya Toure and Pep Guardiola, how they didn't get along at Barcelona. He replaced him quite easily with Busquets and, you know, turned out to be quite a successful move. Mm. Then they met again at Man City, and all of a sudden there was rumours of, you know, Toure's going, he hates Guardiola, Guardiola hates Toure, they're the enemies, and the rest. And then all of a sudden, Yaya Toure was playing week in, week out. I think they kind of mended that.
There was that apology thing as well.
Yeah, there was.
So he got a birthday cake and he apologised.
I have no idea what that was about, but anyway. I think Sacco worked his absolute ass off to prove that he wanted to beat the club. I think, you know, obviously he was with the under-23s, I think, week in, week out, training week in, week out. Even the under-23s coach came out and said his professionalism was second to none.
Was that Beale at the time?
Yeah, I believe it was. Mm. He was came out and said even though his attitude with the young players and the way he led by example was his intention to say how much he wanted to stay here. So I think there was a point in the time of the season where we could have actually had Sacco and could have helped us out. Would I have him back? Well, it's a tough one. I mean, I'm not going to spend $75 million on a when you got Sacco there. I don't know. It's just everyone's different opinions. And I think Sacco could have been used at some point last season.
I'm talking more about the you mentioned it when I was getting beers, but yeah, the mentality. If a manager decides in his head that player is not for me, then that player is not for him.
Yeah, I think that's just what it is, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that you said as well is that you said that there is a need or a necessity for the manager to have this sort of stance. The elite managers do have this, and that is true. And the thing is that before you even question, you know, obviously Klopp is an elite level manager, but he's done it before. He's been ruthless.
Yeah.
You know, he was ruthless with players that he sold. in Liverpool. He's been ruthless with players he's sold at Borussia Dortmund. So he's not shy to this. He's all happy and he's a ha 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 with his laughing and whatnot, showing us his
million.
Gone. And 50 million. Very nice. Yeah.
But about Rafa of Robbie Keane? You know, 6 months we had Robbie Keane. £20 million. We sold him for 16.
And we came second that year as well.
Yeah, and he was just straight up like, that wasn't my buy. That was H&G or whoever it was decision. And just decided, no, fuck. Pardon my language. Screw you guys. This is not my player. I'm not going to waste my time with him. Even if he's, I mean, he did okay. Didn't quite, but you got to give a player of £20 million more than 6 months worth of time. But elite manager just said, sorry, off you go.
And it doesn't stop there. Like, even like, I mentioned Pep's name before, but Pep's also done it. I think it was Zlatan even when he was at Barca. And then there was Mourinho's done it pretty much everywhere he's gone.
Yeah.
Was it Van Gaal did it to Di Maria even? I believe so. So,
do you know the story behind Ibra?
No.
Okay, so I heard this on the Anfield Wrap. I'll give it another plug. So one of the guys who is all about sports psychology came on the Anfield Wrap to talk about it. And he was all about culture. And they hired Pep because he fiddled the needs around culture. One of the rules they implemented was that every single player needs to drive the same average, in inverted commas, Audi. That was, they had to drive the exact same car so everyone was exactly the same. You're all part of the Barcelona culture you're building into it. Zlatan got a bit shitty that he was subbed a couple of times where he wasn't starting, decided to rock up in his McLaren, whatever the hell he had, to a game. And the reporters were all out there taking photographs saying, oh, your car is worth more than the team that you're playing today. Blah, blah, blah. And he got out all swagger and did all that stuff. That was the moment. That was the tipping point.
Can I just quickly say as well, just on that, Jurgen Klopp has said on one occasion that he was going to sign a player. He didn't specify who it was. It was a striker.
Yeah.
But when he saw him celebrate, and we were actually talking about celebrations before, so I don't know what Jurgen Klopp would think of this. Maybe he would bin it when he sees how good the player is. But he said a certain player, we actually saw him and we said, good player, good skills, everything's great. We saw him celebrate and he celebrated on his own without the team and they said, we're not interested because of how like egotistical the player was and how much they were only thinking of themselves. This is a true story that Jurgen Klopp and or his brain's trust, this is something that they said.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this comes into play at all, especially with the players that we've got, but I don't know if you noticed what Daniel Sturridge's reaction is on the bench always. Whenever there's a goal, everything, he does a little like a golf clap, but that's about it. When you see a goal, in particular, Loris Karius is all over Instagram. He's all over Twitter. Yeah. He gets up and he's living the game through the team. Living vicariously through the team. So is Divock Origi. So it gives you an idea
and
of...
Grujic.
Huh? And Grujic. Yeah, remember when the goal, the eyes with the, yeah, when the goal. And it's sort of like Sturridge is obviously proven class. And I think, you know, when he stays or not, who knows. But you can sort of see why the favoritism isn't towards him from Klopp. I think he has that same thing that you're talking about with Pep Guardiola. You want to climb it at the club, you want a culture at the club, and eventually, you know, Sturridge is not going to stay for 5 years. If Klopp is here for 5 years, every single player will give into that culture.
Of course.
Yeah, I think there was another Pep Guardiola thing. He actually hired a person to watch the bench.
I would want to do that as well, because I was watching the bench, and when you do get a player cam on Sturridge, you watch him, he's really upset, and that's good sometimes, because you want a player to be hungry, but yeah.
Wasn't there something funny around Madrid bench not too long ago, teasing, was it Tony Adams? The way he was dressed on the sidelines, they're calling him a waiter.
Oh, wow.
And actually screaming out, waiter, waiter, I need to be served or something. I can't remember. But it's all, if you look up, I think you'll find it.
That's bloody rude.
That's from the bench cam.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, Tony Adams.
Yeah.
On Real Madrid bench.
No,
he was coaching the Spanish team.
Oh, he was on the outside. Sorry.
Really badly coaching the Spanish
team. Or his version of coaching.
Yeah, with the dance. That was beautiful. I love that. Let's go on to transfers. Why not? Because that's probably what people are waiting for. Does anyone here actually believe the Mbappe? Does anyone believe that 100 mil rumor? Anyone? And if not, why?
I
Look, if you don't mind, George, I don't believe it personally. He came out the other day saying that Real Madrid's been keeping an eye on him since he was 14.
Oh, yeah.
And he said his idol is Zidane.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why he'd come to Liverpool when Real Madrid are probably the front runners. I don't know. It's tough, but I don't believe anything that I read pretty much anymore. So
Trump.
That's just me.
It's totally
fake
understandable.
News.
Totally
fake
understandable.
News.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Steve Hoare came out on Twitter recently. You'll see it on the screen right now. Vicarage Road is the perfect setting for Liverpool's number 9, Kylian Mbappe, to make his Premier League debut.
Is that Watford, is it?
Yeah, in Watford.
Well, to echo what Pete's saying, I don't believe it because I don't think what we've seen from FSG, and I hope we do get to, we'll probably talk about this because we're on transfers. We'll talk about this later in terms of Liverpool and being prudent and stringent in the transfer market. We're very careful with our pound. We don't want to blow too much, I think, and that can be a good thing. But yeah, I don't think there's any credible sources linking us with Mbappe. What I will say is that you just said that he's been linked with Madrid for a while or whatnot. Liverpool actually
5 years because he's 19.
Yeah.
A whopping 5 years.
But Liverpool had a genuine bid and offer for him last year, which was a very viable bid, and Monaco said no. So there was a time. It's what you do get sometimes, and what I have seen over Twitter is that you get recycled articles. So
yeah, there was some date for half of them.
Yeah. So you get the same quotes. That's why you got Simon Kjær.
Simon Kjær, we've been linked with him since 1892.
Promising 20-something-year-old defender. But yeah, I wouldn't believe Mbappe. But having said that, doesn't he just tick every single box that we need? Striker, number 9, puts it away, assists, left wing, right wing, center forward, just behind. I think he ticks every single box. If we got him, it'd be like signing 3 players. So it's like 3 £30 million players. So maybe it would be worth it.
I don't know. You never know with these young.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'd like to see him do it for a couple more seasons. And then if we threw 100 million towards his way, then I'll be like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just look at, like, for example, Memphis, when he signed at United, their next Cristiano Ronaldo, and it didn't last very long.
No.
So when it comes to these players, I like to see a little bit more of them, personally.
Yeah, of course.
Before you throw 125 million, I think he's a figure now being spoken about him.
Yeah.
I'm not sold because of a season, but an unbelievable season, but I want to see it for 3 or 4 before you're going to throw that kind of money around at a player.
Definitely. I did throw up this question to everyone on Twitter. If all this talk about Mbappe fails to materialize and we have to settle for Lacazette, what would your general mood be? Happy, or candy? 43% said candy, so that's good news. Out of 92
but
votes.
If you add the percentages for all the happies, I think happy won.
Yeah, I think happy's up there. So I mean, this could be the ploy. I don't know. There's so many theories as to why, but you'd go, hang on, didn't we just get slapped across the face because we were tapping up players or whatnot in media, and then we've leaked out to somebody that we're tapping up Mbappe, we're going for Mbappe. Does anyone actually believe it? I don't know.
Well, firstly, I actually like Lacazette. I think he's pretty much a injury-free Daniel Sturridge.
Mate, like, Lacazette, I've been drooling over the guy for 2 or 3 years now. I'd love to have him in red.
Yeah, I mean, his goal record for the past 5 seasons, he's hit, I think, an average of, 25 goals a season.
Yep.
Consistently.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we need.
And a great celebration too. You saw his arms across the chest thing.
They're just chilling out.
My God, what a boss. But speaking of, I mean, I did have a pod challenge out around conspiracies and theories and that kind of good stuff. I'm hoping you two have thought of some good transfer conspiracies that we're doing right now as a club because everyone is silent. So I did ask for the best conspiracy theories around our transfer dealings. Send us the best one. So I'll do a shout out to Shannon_LFC. He says, how about the Mkhitaryan being in a London hotel and winking to someone when asked if he was coming to LFC? Does anyone remember this? Was this actually happening?
I think I heard that. I remember that.
Oh, my God. So that's all it took. Are you going to LFC? Wink. Oh, deal done.
There's actually photos of him signing Liverpool jerseys. If you can actually look for it. You'll find them.
But that was before,
Salah signing. Isn't Salah signing a Liverpool?
He was taking pictures with jerseys.
Someone was, yeah.
But that was before he even, I think it was at Shakhtar, whatever he was, before he went to Dortmund. That's when the photos are from. I do remember those. Yeah, not while he was at Dortmund, he was signing Liverpool shirts. I do remember those ones. Anyway, Cop Talk 1892. Want to give this guy a shout out too. He did his first podcast, 10-minuter. Sounded like he was in an office setting or something or the other, but I went for a walk, decided to give it a listen. Did a really good job. So go to Cop Talk 1892 and listen to his podcast. He goes, got to be Loic Remy after a failed medical. I heard he had cocaine in the system, and another said he had a hole in the heart.
And then I remember that.
Yeah, and then he ended up going off and playing.
Went to Chelsea,
and he did okay.
He did okay. Oh, well. Like he would have been great for us that season because we needed basically just we needed someone with movement and mobility. Yeah, but more than that, like to get a goal scorer is sometimes hard. So you got to look at the secondary and other supporting attributes, and he had everything we needed when we lost Suarez. I mean, he had mobility, pace, a little bit of a trick about him. Instead, we settled for that season was Balotelli, I'm pretty sure, who had no mobility, no pace, and no work rate.
Please don't.
Jesus. But, all right, yeah. This one's probably the most outlandish, and so this is Mouad El Mehdi. Who is Mouad El Mehdi? He says, FSG are secretly AC Milan fans and they bought the club, being Liverpool, to take revenge for Istanbul. That's why they're screwing up every potential deal.
I like that. That's so funny.
That's straight from the tinfoil hat. So thanks, Mouad. Appreciate that. And we have one in a message from Umara, who's been on the pod before, who is scared of anyone she hasn't met before. So Umara, she goes, my conspiracy theory, John W. Henry has 10 letters in his name. 10 divided by 2 is 5. 5 minus 2, because he's John W. Henry II, equals 3. A triangle is 3 sides. Illuminati confirmed. Da, da, da.
Confirmed and exposed again.
Again, one more
Illuminati
time.
Illuminati exposed.
I think it goes without doubt, Illuminati's real.
Oh, absolutely.
There's too many signs.
Oh, I had a good one. Why don't I give you my conspiracy?
Yeah, what's your conspiracy? I'll go far away.
You guys talk and I'll get my conspiracy.
Do you have a conspiracy theory, Peter?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure I've developed 1,000 in my time. So
there's got to be so many. So with all what's happening with the quietness, there was a really funny tweet from a fake Paul Joyce. Do you know Paul Joyce is, by the way, you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Echo? No. I forget where he's from.
Paul Joyce. Where's he from?
Paul Times? Joyce. Times, I think. Or one of those ones. I got to find it. I had to RT it because, I don't steal tweets. I RT them.
But
like
listen
a good
to
guy.
This. Our first game is Watford. If you get the W and you turn it upside down, it's 2 triangles.
Oh, my
Illuminati
God.
Illuminati confirmed double triangle.
Double, my
on
God.
On the first day of the season. Is that away or home?
No way.
Is that away or home? Tell me. Tell me, away or home?
It's away.
Watford, away. What is A? A is a big fat triangle. Confirmed. And exposed again.
I cannot find this tweet, but it's so. There's my Mbop tweet though again. Awesome.
How many members? Really. How many members of Hansen? 3. How many sides for triangle? 3. Confirmed and exposed again.
Well, my conspiracy really is just that everyone hates Liverpool. That's just me. That's just, everyone hates us. Everyone wants us to lose, and that's it for me. That helps me sleep at night.
Guys, I'm being serious now. How many syllables in the word Liverpool?
Don't.
That's 3.
Confirmed and exposed
and
again.
Exposed one more time.
Don't even test me on this one.
You know what's funny is that accent probably makes no sense to anyone outside of Australia.
I don't care. It's funny.
It's funny to you, but oh my God. Huge. I can't find it. But anyway, he said something along the lines of, since Liverpool have shut up shop and stopped sending... Oh, this is the real Paul Joyce. That's why I can't find it. It was a fake account saying basically, since Liverpool has stopped feeding information to us reporters, I'm living off pot noodle and whiskey, basically. I just found that funny. It was a fake account, but I love it. So I'm going to put that in today in LFC Twitter.
I saw you retweet that.
Well, thanks, mate. Thanks for following me up.
I saw you do that.
Yeah. There's been a lot of really good podcasts out at the moment, but we're going to make this one really good because we have to talk about... can I mention Coutinho? Oh, sorry, you go.
George mentioned something before and it just triggered something. Sturridge.
Yeah.
Keep or sell?
Keep, for sure.
It's a tough one, right?
I want to keep him because I've always said year in, year out, I've been saying this since 2006, when we let go of Peter Crouch because he wanted quote-unquote first-team football, and then Manchester United have Carlos Tevez and Dimitar Berbatov on the bench. We have never had superstars on the bench because they want first-team football. Why can't we have someone on the bench that can come on and is a different option for us? For some reason, we struggle to do it. Mm. And I think that the reason why is probably because we don't give them the contract that they want, or we're probably too cheapskate to give them 200 grand a week to sit on the bench. I don't know. But we've never had someone expensive on the bench that we can just throw on. If we're going to be a big hitter like City, United, Chelsea, even Arsenal, we need to have someone on the bench that's on £150,000 a week or £200,000. Who cares? Well, keep him, in my opinion, because he scores goals.
There was one game, I think it was, that's right, the Bernabeu.
Yeah. Brendan Rodgers in charge.
We had Coutinho, Jordan Henderson, Sturridge, Gerrard. Yeah. Everyone on the bench. Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Look, my opinion in that Sturridge talk is, a fit Daniel Sturridge is almost irreplaceable.
He's ridiculous, yeah.
But the problem is, he's never fit. Mm. So there you go. What do you do? Yeah. And what price do you say, okay, we'll sell him?
That's a good question, George. Price.
I think, look, because of his injury record, I think his price is 25 mil. That seems to be the standard. 25 mil. I reckon that's about right. He's turning 28 September 5th.
I'm going to top it up to 30.
I'm going to say, look, it's between 25 and 35, in my opinion, for Daniel Sturridge. I love him. It's just that he's never fit. And why not go to Lyon and say he's Daniel Sturridge and 15 million for Lacazette, if you want? I'm not too sure.
Yeah. I just love him as a person too. I've got a fantastic photo on my phone of, what's that guy's name, the guy who runs the FFA? Gallup?
David Gallup.
David Gallup listening in to Daniel Sturridge talk about music. David Gallup, the most straight edge white guy, just there listening to Daniel Sturridge talk about hip hop and rap.
Let's be honest, there is nothing better than seeing that dance.
Yeah, no, right.
There really isn't. Oh, every time I see that dance, I get up and I have to.
Can you do one?
I'm actually quite good.
Come on, do it. Can I video it? I'll put it on the podcast.
I need a bit more practice.
No, fuck it. Come on. Oh, shit. Stop making me swear.
Which one?
All right.
Which one? He's only got one. Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's actually very good.
That's decent.
And he just goes.
Just keep going.
That's very good, actually.
Can you do this? Can you do the clock thing now? Once you start, you can't stop. Oh my god!
Is this how he does it?
Why don't you try?
Hadi Moreno, remember he celebrated with Daniel Sturridge together.
That was the same thing.
You know, remember he did something like that, like some yoga pose. Yeah. What you're doing?
Was it like this, kids? Like this, something in this moment? The situation.
Once
is
you
like
start,
this.
You can't stop. Why don't you try it?
Try it, all of you. Come on.
I'm actually a little bit upset at Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah.
There's a bit of history here. Do you remember a couple seasons ago, he actually started that Who Could Do His Dance the Best competition? And the winner would get a signed shirt by Daniel Sturridge. I don't know if you guys remember.
I don't remember that now.
My friend Michael, how you going, mate? We created. I think it was like a minute and a half YouTube video of just, for example, I'm doing Daniel Sturridge in different scenarios, in different moments, in different locations.
Yeah.
And my views were actually quite high. And compared to the other videos, my views were the highest. Yet I didn't win. I think I lost to somebody in Lithuania who did it off like a Nokia 7210 or something.
Oh, man, no.
Yeah, in his room. I think it was like a Backstreet Boys poster in the background. Oh, I'm not too sure. This is why I want us to sell Daniel Sturridge.
This is it. This is your conspiracy theory.
Man, the guy didn't even give me the jersey for the dance.
So, Sturridge, if you're ever going to listen to this, maybe an apology. I'm not too sure, but whatever.
Klopp would be like, did you not give the shirt to Peter? I mean, for me, in this moment, it's not.
So
sell, boom.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, but I love Danny Sturridge. What a player.
I love that guy too. So I'm just putting that out right now on Twitter, that video. So if you guys are listening, you were in a moment in time. So see that video, come on Twitter. See how multitasking you can be when you do these podcasts, interacting with the fans, doing videos.
If you've got two other people on the pod as well, you can take a break.
I can just shut up, get a beer.
That's actually a good one for the fans. Speaking of, talking to the fans, things like that. I think, why not get them to send over? If they would sell Sturridge, of course, and at what price is enough for him to go?
Yeah.
That's something for the fans, I believe.
That is good. I'm going to stick on 30 mil. Anything above 30 mil, I think, is enough. And you said 25 mil is your tipping point?
No, I don't want him to... I don't know.
Can you just give us a dollar value? I mean,
No.
It's an easy question.
I said that 25 is what you asked me, what could Daniel Sturridge go for? And I think it's 25.
Because what
would convince me?
Yes.
What would convince me to part ways with him? It's yeah, I don't know. Maybe 25. Yeah, maybe it's that.
Went through all that.
Look, I'll give you a straight, simple answer. Anywhere between 25 and 35.
So 25.
I'll stay there.
Okay.
Only if there is someone lined up to replace him very quickly as well.
Yeah, like, but exactly. Like, you're going to get rid of Sturridge if you don't have a replacement in? Like, I'm not going to get rid of him for 25 if we've not got anyone in to replace him. Like, it's sort of,
yeah.
I think at the moment, Daniel Sturridge is irreplaceable because we don't have anyone else in who can score a goal like him. We get Lacazette, sell him for 15, I don't care. You know, if we get Mbappe, sell him for, you know, just let him go for free. I don't care.
The packet of crisps.
I just
hope that Jurgen Klopp sent it to some German scientist now in the preseason, off-season, whatever you want to call it, and was like, just pretty much transplant his whole body, change the muscles around.
Him up with stem cells.
Surely he knows some German crazy scientists out there.
Yeah.
What did they do? They got horse placenta. Who was that for?
Oh,
Mark
Jesus.
Gonzalez? Remember back in the day, the horse placenta?
Anyone remember this? Player?
They sent him off. Was it Xabi Alonso or Fernando Torres or I don't know? Back in the Benitez era, they sent a player off for horse placenta. I don't know if it was him, Mark Gonzalez. I don't know. I'm going to search it now, guys. You talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to just show you your video right now. If you look at the TV,
please don't
go on. Turn around and have a look at the glory. Here we go, and. Awesome. Love it. Well done.
Good, don't show me. Because you just tell people that I was Yossi Benayoun.
Yossi Benayoun placenta.
Says placenta cure was
he
from
looked like
a woman,
horse.
Not a horse.
He looked like a horse, didn't he?
That's one of the saddest moments, though, because we were talking about Rafa before, right? Do you remember when Yossi, because everyone knew, like, what? Why doesn't Rafa like Yossi? It was like a biggest problem. And I know when Yossi said when he left, there was one game I played really well. I got subbed off and the crowd stood up and actually gave him a standing ovation for him playing. And then Rafa on his way in when Yossi was coming in said, I don't know why they're clapping you. You had a shit game.
Wow.
That's rough hearing that.
Rafa.
Well, I think... I'm not sure if it's Steven Gerrard who said it himself, but there was things about Benitez saw Gerrard and saw his caliber and thought, I need to treat this player really rough because he is clearly the best one here and I need to make him feel like he needs to do more. I need him to shoot for the stars or shoot for the sky and get the stars instead, yeah. Basically. So, you know, it seems like it was his managerial style. Don't give a compliment. Always give. What is it? The rough. What's that?
Well, if you hear his stories,
rough
right,
treatment.
It's always like he didn't really speak to his players.
Yeah,
but didn't he also ban Spanish as well at the club at one stage?
I'm not sure. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It's a smart.
Everything
thing to
was
do.
English with Rafa. Yeah.
If you're big into Rafa, you should listen to a podcast with Richard Northants on Anfield Road Wolves. This is for everyone listening as well. He interviewed Paul Tompkins of what's called the Tompkins Times. It goes over two parts. The second part is all about his time talking to Rafa, meeting him, getting a friend request from John W. Henry, all this kind of stuff. One thing he mentions with Rafa, which was super, super interesting.
You mean a Facebook friend request?
Yeah, a Facebook friend request.
Rafa has Facebook.
If that, no, John W. Henry.
Oh, I might add him now, actually.
Anyway, just say you send him across. He had like 12.
These are the targets you need to go for.
Exactly. He had like 12 friends at the time. But yeah, go listen to that. And so Paul Tompkins was there and he was talking because he was a massive fan of Rafa. And he goes, he knew that Carragher and all these people had it in for Rafa at the end and wanted him out and helped getting him sacked. And then he was talking about how he was sitting at home and then he released his own personal article on Tompkins Times or whatever it was at the time about Carragher basically ousting Rafa. And then he was having dinner with his family and a number comes up, a no number comes up on his phone. It's ringing.
and it was Carragher, and he just blasts him for 10 minutes. Why are you saying FFF about this, about me, all this stuff? That's how close he got and how the players clearly revolted against Rafa's style and ended up getting him shot down. But then hearing stuff from Paul Tompkins, how John W. Henry was invited to talk to Paul. John W. Henry invites Paul to talk to him, and apparently all these people inside the club had told him that Roy Hodgson had won the league in Italy and Rafa was the biggest problem.
He never won it in. He won it in Finland.
So that's the whole point, is that the club or people within the club apparently had fed all these lies and stuff to John W. Henry to get Roy Hodgson hired for whatever reason. And all these lies, and Paul Tompkins was brought in to basically give him an unadulterated view because John W. Henry had read a couple of Paul Tompkins' books and therefore built respect for him that way and wanted his point of view. It's super fascinating. So have a listen.
I wish Rafa was with us, but anyway.
Yeah, I know. How about at this point, guys, we take, I'll read this out. Chelsea,
what was it?
Okay, so you know Dom Solanke, he is now one. The under-20s World Cup, instead of the £3 million compensation that was originally getting, Chelsea won £10 million of Dom Solanke. Over 10 million. Of course.
No.
And if they can't agree on a fee, it goes to tribunal. Do
you know what? We were talking about values before with £25 million for Sturridge, whatever you were saying. I think it'll be actually somewhere in the middle. I think it'll be 7 because Danny Ings was 7. I think 7's about the standard. Albeit Danny Ings was 22 or something when
that's
bought him.
That's an interesting topic. When we come back, if you want.
What's Danny that? Ings.
Danny Ings.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'd love to. All right, guys. So if you're listening, we're going to take a bit of an intermission on this side of the podcast. Hope you're enjoying it so far, and we'll be back very soon. Goodbye. Stop. All right. So we are back from McDonald's. I had a couple of hamburgers. George, you had?
I had a triple cheeseburger meal. It was large. I got it with a water because I want to be healthy, and I got 6 nuggets with sweet and sour sauce. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Coach?
I did not eat anything. I just had a salad.
Jesus Christ.
Can we have that?
You're banned. No more podcasts.
Can we have that as your nickname, Coach? Like the Coachman? Coachman from WWF?
I didn't like him.
Oh, he was the best. Coach when he started, yeah. Anyway,
yeah, cool. Anyway, so we did leave, and this was Pete's idea, by the way, if anyone's wondering. At what price do we accept an offer for Daniel Sturridge? We did chat about it. I started with 25 mil because that was George's original offer, and he ended up going with 25 mil. Anyway, 30 mil, 35 mil, and keep at all costs. I accidentally put it for 24 hours. But anyway, after about, half an hour? It's now 25 mil is at 21% of the votes. 30 mil is 30% of the votes. Keep at all costs is 17% of the votes. And the winner so far is 35 mil, 32% of the votes. So at 32 mil plus, that is when we accept an offer for Daniel. Basically, the maximum. Let's read out some comments from the raving fans. Starting with Mr. Joe Grumpy Frog, who is amazing. Please follow him at LFC Grumpy Frog. He says, 30 mil with add-ons depending on games played. If he can stay fit, he easily bags 30 goals in the league season. Talent isn't the issue. Pete gave a gesture of acceptance and approval. Any words?
He basically said,
That's exactly what I said.
What up, Mr. Grumpy? What on?
Pete approves of your message, Grumpy Frog. Nigel Cody came on. He's also a great guy. Got to get on the pod, by the way. Spot on. A fit Sturridge is arguably the best finisher in the league. We noticed that West Ham, the step over, the run, the over, the walk class. Around, finish.
And a lot of people say that he's lost his speed and whatnot. I think he's doing the Harry Kewell thing where he's watching. Like, you can see the way he runs. He waddles a little bit when he runs. His gait is a little bit hampered, but he's still got the natural pace. He's still got the fast twitch, they say.
Look, for me, it just looks like he's scared to do any kind of explosive running because he might rip something again. I'm not too sure, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Cop Talk 1892, we mentioned him earlier in the pod. Please listen to his stuff. 30 million, that could go towards Van Dijk. At what point do we put trust in Origi? I'm going to put that first through to you, Pete.
Origi, okay. I don't think he's there yet in terms of to like lead the pack up top. I'm not saying that's what he's saying. This is just my opinion. I wouldn't say, Origi's ready now to lead the pack. because I just don't think he's ready. I really don't think I can. George was saying before, have someone on the bench who can come on and, you know, impact the game and change something, provide something different. I think Origi can be good with that under Klopp. I think he needs definitely more work, but not to lead the pack, no.
Sure. George, when do we put our trust in Origi?
I think I mean, Pete and I were having a conversation about this before as well. I think we've got to give Origi this year. He's still young. We're going to be saying, it's a stereotype for young footballers. You always say they're young. And how long do we keep saying this sort of thing? I reckon we give Origi a season and we see what happens from there. But one thing I do want to say about Origi, I said this to Pete as well, is he needs to, and I may have said on the pod, he needs to harden up. He needs to get some, his shorts are too big. He looks like a clown. His goatee looks like Chris Jericho from WWF Attitude Era. It's too fluffy. He needs to shave his head. He needs to go Henri 2002. You get some little shorts, like Henri, John Barnes style shorts. He needs to get like the Totti style socks down like past his calves, show up. And he just needs to harden up. And when he celebrates, he needs to just sort of nod, do something like, he doesn't have, stop being so psyched. He's so psyched and nice. Yeah. It's too nice. He needs to harden up.
Then he
can lead the line. That's when he leads the line.
Saying, remember, does a postman celebrate every time he posts a letter?
I hate Balotelli.
He's a dick.
yeah.
But we need to have somewhere in between that and what Origi's doing now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No. I don't want him to not celebrate goals. I want him to be like, I just like a boss celebration, something that Zidane celebration. Does.
Yeah, or even
Ronaldo. Ronaldo, like Brazilian fat Ronaldo, does the finger point.
It was Firmino. It was on Firmino.
It's class, isn't it?
He's good to watch when he celebrates.
As much as I absolutely hate Cantona, that one goal that he did score and he just kind of stood and then he turned and then he lifted his arms up in the air and they turned into a FIFA celebration.
Look at me.
I think Gerard did that, didn't he? In the FA Cup final.
Yeah. And then he does the whole...
But he pointed the back of his...
And then with the arms out as well, he did the whole...
And he tapped his name.
Good. All right, next comment is from Seb King, which is @liver_wool. He goes, keep! A fit Sturridge is priceless. Fingers crossed, his serious injuries are behind him. Hate to see him go somewhere else, be fit, and score 20+.
You can see that happening, can't you?
We can all agree on that, yeah. If he did end up at some place like West Ham, which I don't think Daniel Sturridge is yet going to say, I concede and I'll become a West Ham player. But you know he will do the business, which is annoying. Ross FC, which is @RossT17, he says, sell for 25 mil plus only if we can get someone like Lacazette in first, which is exactly what we discussed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, like, that's the, like, for me, it was hard for me to sort of say, what price would you sell him at? For me, I'm not selling him, but I can see the situation in which he leaves. It's probably going to be 25. That's the realistic one. Yeah. But yeah, for me, I'd replace myself into the 35+. I don't want him gone at all. At this moment, he's priceless because he's the only genuine finisher we've got on the side.
Yeah, definitely. Another comment from a guy, Daniel-John Crooks. No question, he's an unreal striker, but not $30 a season. He is never fit. I would sell for as much as we can get him for and trust in Klopp.
I do agree. That's a really good answer.
Especially the last three words, trust in Klopp.
I do that every single time.
Exactly.
All the time. When in doubt.
I have to go back to the Origi question because it's playing in my mind. Because
happy to.
It's a difficult one with Divock because was it a run where we needed him towards the end of the season, right? We need him to score goals. And he wasn't. I think it was 0 in 8, I think it was, or maybe
got
more.
Got some assists, but yeah, no goals.
And a friend of mine loves to say he scores the consolation goals. For example, if we're 3-1, he'll make it 4-1. Or if we're losing 3-0, he'll make it 3-1. I don't really believe, but it's one of those ones where he's difficult to talk about because, yes, George, he is young. And he won what was the Golden Boy Award, I think, when he was at Lille, I believe.
And then he won the Worst Player Award. So he won the best and the worst player.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, what do you do?
Yeah, I know.
Do you offer him plus money for Lacazette? What do you do with Origi?
I've said this a lot on the podcast, is that even when he scored goals, he hasn't played well. And he's one of those ones where he reminded me a lot of Danny Welbeck when Danny Welbeck was scoring for Man United, but frankly, he was doing step overs and kicking the ball out of the sideline and stuff. I'm like, you're just not that great a player, but you are able to score goals. So where do we draw the line of, do you need to be a great player who can score goals? Or are you a guy who consistently scores goals but doesn't have a great game for 80 minutes? I don't know. Right now, he's only 22, so, you know.
I think we give him a year, but the thing that I don't like about Origi, and again, we were talking about what can you find out about a player before you actually see them play 90 minutes, but the thing that we can definitely see, or the thing that I can definitely see from watching him play 90 minutes, is he's too much like Jordan Ibe in that there's no conviction in what he does. When he does a step over, he doesn't sell it. I mean, he does it better than Ibe.
Yeah, he doesn't do a Coutinho step over the shoulders and everything.
Coutinho doesn't even do, like, he does step overs, but Coutinho, I mean, as the Greeks say, does Zabekiko dance before he bloody... He does it about three... He does like about three or four foot kicks before he actually, you know, decides on... But it's all done with conviction and pace and Pete also said that...
Beauty and...
Pete said that Origi's a slow player. Yeah. He doesn't believe he's very quick.
Yeah.
But, and then I said, oh, well, a lot of people have said he is quick in training. And he goes, no, not pace.
Mentally,
he's not... He doesn't have the speed of thought.
It's like we said before. For example, we speak on Coutinho, so I'll mention him again. Coutinho is lightning quick with the ball at his feet.
Yep.
Origi is very quick. Messi. Let's say he's the only one that could keep up with Mane in a sprint.
Yeah.
But you need the ball.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, is he?
And we've seen so many times Origi just gets the ball and just drifts out wide. We're like, dude, stop. You're moving away from your support. You're moving into the corner. You're limiting your options.
It's all about conviction for me. And Jordan Ibe always went through the motions. The shit he was doing. So at one point, he did a flip flap. Did a Ronaldinho flip flap. So clearly, he's got the skill.
Yeah,
it's fucking hard for me. It's hard to do.
Just to quickly end this Origi talk, because I think we can go over here. But for me, the thing that annoys me the most about Origi is, in my opinion, again, and if anyone else has the same, please let me know.
That's right.
I think he's tactically poor.
Yep.
I think Jurgen Klopp is loves to win the ball high up. Mm-hmm. As he says, rock and roll football, like pretty much run your ass off and win that ball. I see Origi drifting a lot. Like, I'll just stand in this little area here and hopefully the ball comes my way and I might put a little bit of a sprint in.
Yeah.
But it's never doing what, you know, the Firmino would do. Lallana. Yeah. Lallana, I've never seen a better presser in my life. Lallana just runs and runs and runs. Mm. Henderson, the same. But you never really see Divock put in a 20-meter, 30-meter sprint. Someone to try. Let's just force a bad pass.
Yeah. And it's funny because I have brought this up a hell of a lot on the podcast. Origi's got this thing where he decides he wants to be the very last man. He wants to be on the edge of the defense and he wants to be pressing for that offside line. And then as soon as we get the ball anywhere near the halfway, he turns and he tries to run behind. And that's not how the rest of the team is playing. The rest of the team is playing let's build up, let's get through. We're not going to try and do a lob through ball to you every single time. It's not, was it L1 triangle?
L1 triangle. L1 triangle. Absolutely. I was about to say it and you beat me to it.
L1 triangle.
L1 triangle.
So you're spot on. Thankfully, you're talking the exact same language I'm talking. I haven't been just losing my mind just seeing him seemingly playing a completely different tactic to the rest of the squad. So I've done my badges now. I think I qualify.
Have you shared the same opinion with someone?
I'm ready to hit the big time. Let's finish off these comments just because, you know, we're all about the fans here. Amon Murphy, who is at EAMO22000, says, I wouldn't sell him. If you can get 20-plus games a year out of him, he will score goals. Very few strikers are as good when he is fit. Again, Pete nods his head in immense approval. I'll see if there's another one. Scouse Divi, who is Peter Critch, at Peter Critch, says, as if anyone's making a bid for him, unless you mean Booper. Nice. If you don't know, Booper is health insurance, and we'll just move on.
He's red, his feet sit out the bed. Peter Critch.
It's funny that everyone says the same thing, if fit. That's all you hear, and that's what we said, really.
Yeah. Sorry. And that's what everyone's saying about De Vrij, the centre-back.
De Vrij,
whatever, however you pronounce his name.
The Lazio defender.
Yeah, that guy. And I was listening to Anfield Rap again, and they brought on a guy who's a big Lazio fan. He said, he's great, but he's not very good against speedy attackers. Oh, goody. Well, yeah, that's probably why we're not going for that guy then. And people are talking about who's the other one that we're going for? Who's got
Koulibaly?
Koulibaly's the centre back. That's cool.
It's Jonathan Tarr.
But who is the Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Oh, Oxlade-Chamberlain.
So him with his injury record. That's why people are about that. There was something else I really wanted to mention, but I've completely forgot. Oh yeah, songs. Sorry. I had another idea, but then I realized it's the Gerrard song and I feel really bad.
Oh, what do you mean?
Mo Salah, Salah.
Oh, you can
never
do it.
Whatever will be.
Nah, you can't.
We bought him from Italy.
Nah, you can't.
I know you can't.
You can't do it.
I was so disappointed when I went, oh, shit, that's right.
You got to buy him first. You got to get him first.
That would be nice.
It'd be good to discuss songs. Are we...
Yeah.
Can we do that at the end?
What the hell rhymes with Koulibaly?
Koulibaly, it reminds me of this holiday
Reading up now, actually. It says that Koulibaly is open to a Chelsea move for £52 million.
Oh, of course he is, yeah. All right. Yeah, because, you know, Zuma and Cahill and Azpilicueta and David Luiz, and he was guaranteed football there, for sure. Maybe Azpilicueta. You want to speak about Danny Ings, you mentioned before you went on a break.
I think a quick question
about Danny Ings would be good, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's the forgotten man, isn't he? With a strong preseason, okay?
Yep.
Let's just hope that he's looked after, which I'm pretty sure Liverpool will make sure they go above and beyond.
And he is running now, so
yeah. Yeah, and his attitude is actually unbelievable. Didn't he do a marathon not too long ago?
Mm.
He did some swim.
Some swim, some run,
channel
bike ride.
Swim.
Yeah,
it was
like a triathlon.
He swam the length of the channel, whatever, in the pool. So he's been swimming a lot, but he didn't actually go out anywhere. He's done it in the pool. He's been doing it, yeah.
Well,
as they say, if you do it in the pool, it's the same thing.
It is, yeah.
That's what they say.
Could he be like a secret weapon?
I love the guy.
How many times this season could we have used Danny Ings' energy up top?
He is perfect for the lower league teams to play against.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that's his level, but I think he's perfect to be able to break him down.
And again, if we do end up spending, for example, let's just say the number 40 million on one striker.
Yeah.
Is Danny Ings that one on the bench that can chip in with an extra 10 to 12?
Well, I see him as our Dirk Kuyt. That's how I kind of see Danny Ings. He's the guy, the workhorse, not super gifted, but he can finish. He can make it in the big games. He can make things happen desperately when we need him. So he's like my new Dirk Kuyt, if you want to put it that way.
Well, I'd have no hesitation in keeping him. I don't think there's a reason to get rid of him.
Jorge, what do you think?
Well, I'm just looking at his transfer value. According to Transfer Market,
yeah,
he's rated at 10 million euro, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, which is like 8 something.
7 or 8, yeah.
7 to 8 million pounds. So, I mean, the question would be, I mean, if that's – and Transfer Market are quite – they're quite good with their collaboration of transfer with their transfer values. So, I mean, the question would be, would you guys sell him for 8 million? The answer to that would be what's a blessing in disguise with Danny Ings? And you guys would be like, what? Is his injury record is actually a blessing in disguise because he knows more than anyone.
What?
Yeah.
Did you say what?
What?
But he more than anyone will understand, dude, you've been injured for 2 years straight. You need to sit on the bench and work. Now, what other... I mean, he is Premier League proven. He has scored goals, and that little run he went on towards the tail end of Rodgers' career.
Yeah,
Before the injury.
The first one.
Mm-hmm. Then that little run he had in the 23s, he's clearly too good for 23s, which is the mark of someone who's ready to make the step up into the Premier League. I'm not saying that he's well above that.
Yeah.
But as a squad player, for 7 mil to buy an English squad player, 24 years old, I think he is.
Who would absolutely dominate the league?
He looks about 56, yeah. But he's about 24, I think.
Yeah,
I think we'd just be looking for this for the same player. He's willing to sit on the bench this year when he had only 1 year injury behind him. He was willing to sit in the reserves.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't sell him because for that price, you're not getting a 24 year old. I think he's about a 1 in 3, 1 in 4. And that's fine for a sub because 1 in 3 appearances off the bench, he'll probably score you a goal, which is better than Origi-ish. Well, not really, but yeah.
Again, I'm not Origi bashing, but I'd rather throw Danny Ings on before I would throw Origi. At the moment, that is.
He's mental when he's on the field. He runs around. He gets on the end of everything.
Yeah.
He's a good finisher as well. He's quietly quite a good finisher. Yeah. And he scores headers as well. So he puts his body on the line. Yeah. So, yeah, I think keep him for sure because no one else is going to sit on that bench as eagerly as him.
Yeah. Hey, while I'm looking at Twitter, what the hell is this Gamos thing that Amanda keeps mentioning?
Thanks, Amanda.
Tell us the story.
There's a few, actually. So there was, I think, Matt Camp as well and a few others. But all right, the story of Sotiri Gamos is a made-up one. So what happened, it was when Liverpool Football Club had come to versus Melbourne Victory
yep.
in 2013.
Yep.
So it was myself and maybe five or six others from the New South Wales supporters base.
Yeah.
We had stayed in a hotel. We got there a few days before the game to obviously live up to the atmosphere, start the chants, start the songs, flags, banners, the rest, put them up for the stadium.
Yeah.
We did all that kind of work, right? So at one stage, we weren't getting bored, but we ran out of ideas of things to do.
And this is bad. This is where things come downhill.
So I've just gone... As Liverpool fans are, right? We bite at a lot because we're dying for transfers, even back then. Why don't we just make up a fake signing? Let's make up a fake signing. And this is a true story because you can even search.
It's a photo of you signing a jersey.
Yeah. We'll put that up. We'll get that up on this, by the way. Yeah, what? Nish?
Yeah, all good? Yeah, I'll find it, yeah. Was it by Amanda?
Amanda did put that up. But you can even type in Sotiri Gamos and there's actually threads. So I'll take it back to the story anyway. So we said, but we need to make it believable.
Okay.
So I said, why don't we just pick like some random Greek name? Because no one really follows Greek football.
Yeah.
And I'm Greek, by the way, so I'm not targeting anybody. And then why don't we just make up a name, Greek name? We'll make up a club. At that time, we were in second division, which was AEK Athens.
Yeah.
And I said, a position that no one really focuses on. So I chose left back, which we need one now, by the way. But
nice.
So I said, let's make up Sotiri Gamos. It sounds believable. It's not like Gamos or Potopoulos. Like it's just, yeah, it's just, you know.
It's like Sampras. It feels like it can be a name that you can put on a tennis racket. Yeah.
You look like a genuine, like proper professional football. You've even got the sleeve.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? We had put it on the supporters club base. I think it was John Miller's.
Yeah.
So John, if you're listening, well done, mate. We had put this up and we took a fake photo. So that's obviously one of our jerseys that we had. That pen, the lid is still on, I believe.
Is that how you spell it? Sotirios Gamos?
Sotirios.
Sotirios? No O at the end?
There's not, yeah.
Sotirios Gamos?
Yeah, that's fine. That's the one. And then, so we had got like obviously pretend like there's obviously someone with a phone out.
Yeah.
And we made it look like, you know, oh my God, here he is and this is him. And then John had written... I can confirm, I think it was like 1,000,000% that we have signed Sotiri Gamos from AEK Athens.
No.
And this went global. It went, first of all, it went nationwide. So it made the Melbourne Supporters Club page, Brisbane. I think it made Perth, I'm not too sure. And next thing you know, it's actually in threads in England. Who is this player? And that's not even the best part. I mean, apart from actually taking photos with people in Melbourne believing that I am the new signing. It was taking photos and smiling and things like that. That was, okay,
incredible.
That was fun.
Incredible.
But the best part were the comments in the photos. Now, would you believe me if I said to you, some of the comments were, I've heard of him before.
Oh, no.
As fans are, they always want to know.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, no, I knew him before everybody. But the funny thing was someone also had commented, and if you are listening and you know this was you, please own up because I want to hug you. He said, I've seen him before. He reminds me of Roberto Carlos.
Oh, my God.
This is a fake player, by the way.
Like, this is fantastic.
You're not even left-footed.
I'm not even left-footed, no. I'm not even left back. It's just, and it just goes to show how, when it comes to transfer season, how crazy people can get.
That's so good.
We can use this. We can use this to help us learn.
Oh, Gamos.
To just get a grounding on this silly season.
And there was actually a song made at Cheese Bar, by the way, after that because it went so so viral. There was actually a song started singing. It was fun. It was so much fun.
This is so good.
Down the bottom, From the Sun Lands in Melbourne. They say Sotiris Gamos. There it is, reddit.com.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
They made Reddit.
For some of the lads in Melbourne, they say Sotiris Gamos is said to be a sign from AK Athens. Can anyone confirm this is correct on Reddit?
How many upvotes? I mean, got some upvotes?
Oh, 12. Yeah. This is so funny. Yeah, so please, can we do this at every tour? Can we just...
Well, there was Amanda and a few others saying, let's bring Gamos back, saying we have re-signed him.
This is so good.
He just not too long ago.
Who the F is Sotiris Gamos? I thought the same thing.
There's the best comment coming up, by the way. I think someone says I look about 30 years old and unfit. I think...
Another Ali Deer.
Yeah, see, I mean, like, people like actually believed it. It was unreal.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was about 30 years old and not what I would consider match fit. He's literally just some bloke. Pretty funny, the look on those guys' faces, though.
But how I got caught was actually we're at a pub where all the fams were based. I can't remember the name of the pub now, but everyone was there, right? So I'm there.
It'd be the Imperial.
It was the Imperial.
The MP.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Burke Street.
And we were going, like, obviously, mental as we do. And I was actually still taking photos with people at this time. And one guy was sitting in the corner just staring at me, like eyeing me out. I'm thinking, does he want a signature? Like, I'm scared. Like, what do I do?
Oh, shit.
Do I put on a fake accent?
Yeah.
How do I go about this? And he sits there and he's still staring at me. He's still staring at me. I'm thinking, oh, my God. So I went up to him and said, hey. And I put on the accent. I go, hey.
Hey, I'm so jealous.
And he stares at me. And there's like a 15-second, like, pause, and I'm thinking to myself, I started to sweat at this stage, and he just points his finger at me, like similar like to Brazilian Ronaldo celebration.
Yeah,
so you can imagine that kind of finger pointing happening now, and goes, you're not Sotiris Gamos. He goes, you're not real. He goes, you're not real.
Mate, I don't think you're real.
Well, I don't think you're imaginary.
I don't think you're real. I think you're fake, to be honest.
My pills are kicking in.
And I tell you know, I still talk about this story and people still can't believe it.
That's so funny.
But that's how the Gamos came up. I know you just asked. So that's when Amanda and the rest bring it up. That's the story.
That is so good.
I love the story of the guy who's from across the room. You know, your eyes lock. You come over and he goes, I've got to tell you something. I don't think you're real. Call me crazy. I don't think you're real.
Man looks at like two beers in each hand and screaming chants in the rest. Whatever. But maybe that was the giveaway. I wasn't sure.
You're acting too much like a fan.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think on that note, it has cracked over 11:20 p.m. on a school night, so I think it's time that we call it quits there. But are there any shout-outs? I know you've got people that you work with. Anyone that you want to shout-out in particular?
To be honest with you, shout-out to whoever's listening in terms of just Liverpool fans and they want to jump in.
Nice.
Throw questions our way. We'll happily answer them and just keep going. Keep listening.
Nice. Well, I hope you become a regular because it's been great having you on. Really appreciate that. George, any shout-outs before we start chanting a few songs?
No shout-outs from me.
What a dick. No friends. No friends, George, once again.
No friends.
So song chants. I want your first thing that pops into your head if we sign Mbappe.
Oh, well.
What is...
Right now?
Yep, right now.
I haven't got anything right now.
He's got one. You had one. We were doing one in the car. He had one for Firmino.
I actually got a good Firmino one.
Okay, Firmino.
I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to post it.
No. Sing it.
I'm not a good singer.
No.
I can maybe help you out with it. What is it? What is it to the tune of?
It's the Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Which is?
It's Baby Give It Up is the song.
Yeah. Bobby Firmino?
No, so.
Bobby Firmino. Bobby Firmino?
No. Bobby Firmino. Bobby Firmino.
That's good. I like that.
That's it, yeah.
It's decent.
And that's, I mean, that needs to, that global. We need to pick up our songs.
I like that.
We need to, well, that's just, yeah.
Can you do your Firmino one from last week? That was pretty good too.
Which one did I do for Firmino?
The one that you've been trying to push for ages.
Ah, oh, magic people. Bobby Firmino. I'm not singing it again. That's a good one. That's great. That's just great.
Magic people, Bobby Firmino.
Because he's magic.
He is magic. He's brilliant.
I was going to say, you watched Hook.
Magic people, Phil Coutinho.
That's the one I wanted. Magic people, Phil Coutinho. Because in Portuguese, his name is Coutinho.
And he's all magical.
And he's a magician. Yeah. That's what I wanted. We're going to do them both.
Wait, magic you can people, add like, the Colo Torreio to it, eh? Just change it.
Yeah. So every... Like the yeah, and then Colo. Yeah. Yeah, you can do both. I was going to say, have you ever seen Hook?
Yeah, of course.
You know, Rufio? And how, Firmino reminds me of Rufio. There's a bit of, he's a bit mad. It's a bit crazy. I did with get the hair as well.
I did get to meet Firmino in Sydney. he is such a cool guy.
Yeah, I can
he
imagine.
He was just sitting there, because I introduced him to magic. That magic was having an SD card adapter that goes into your iPhone. I was sitting there taking photos.
He needs
photos.
That with his social media game.
He does love an Instagram post.
Yeah, so what I did, I was taking photos on my proper camera. I was there. And then I was giving it to Ben Woodburn. And I was quietly falling in love with Ben Woodburn.
What a player.
So it was him and Trent Alexander. And I was showing them. And then Bob Firmino's like seeing me from across the lounge going, oh, can you give me our photos? Because I was taking photos of them. So then I plug in the adapter and he's like, oh, wow. And they go, do you want to take more photos of us? I'm like, okay, let's do it. And
amazing.
Just like, so I went straight into his phone.
Yeah, he
like,
hates a photo.
No. There's teeth.
Well,
Jesus Christ.
Well, I was going to say, the Rufio chant.
Yeah. What's the Rufio chant?
Yeah, give it
Rufio, 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 Rufio. You haven't never seen?
No.
Look,
I don't remember that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's
but
like
what song is that for?
Firmino,
was it?
Yeah, Firmino, Firmino, Firmino. You can imagine the whole crowd doing.
That's pretty good.
Firmino. And it's a war chant. It's a big fat watch. Anyway, that was mine. It'd be a good thing to do. Maybe we can, you know, every show or something, just do some new chants. And then if something catches on, you put it on the Twitter, and then we can sing it in bars and whatnot.
How responsive are Liverpool's Twitter account in terms of people like yourself and this kind of podcast?
No, nothing.
Zero?
No, zero. Yeah.
Wow.
Liverpool's podcast is all about posting stuff. They don't interact too much.
Because we need to get, if the song's good,
And
if the fans could, like, if our listeners could jump in and throw something our way, we have to make sure.
Of course.
We do the best we can to make sure the cops sing that this season.
All right. I'm going to think of another player that we linked with. Salah. I've already done my other Mo Salah song.
Salah. I had the Sturridge one that I put on.
Oh, you got one,
did
you?
The Mo Salah one, because it was a bit, because I love, you know, Oasis. So it's like, Mo Salah song, na, 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 na.
You don't have the words yet.
And get the entire crowd going, Mo Salah, whatever. That'd be kind of cool. I thought I liked it.
Most
bit
that would
slow
be
though.
Salah seems like a word because it sounds like salad. I'm sure that there's a song somewhere that has Salah.
You don't lose games with Salah. You don't lose games with Salah. You don't lose games with Salah.
That's
Mo
a good
Salah.
One.
Huh? Yummy, yummy.
Love it. Okay, I think we should probably kill it now.
Absolutely.
Anyway, thanks everyone. It's been episode 81. Thank you, Pete, for coming along for the first time on the couch. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, George, for coming back. It's good to see your face.
Thanks for seeing my face.
They're awesome. Thanks everyone for listening. And if you're out there, have a very good day or night. And goodbye.
Lovely cushion header. But Gerald!